Our scripture passage this morning is from 2 John. As we continue our studies in 2 John, I read the entire chapter last week. This week I'm going to only read to the first six verses, and we'll continue next week, Lord willing, in the second epistle of John. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do so from the Father. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. We'll conclude this portion of the reading of God's Word. Last Sunday, as we looked at this text, we established the fact that John is writing to a lady in the church with a number of children, probably a widow. And one of the conclusions we came to last Sunday was that not everyone in the church is the same in marital status, in economic status, in class status. There is great diversity in God's church. Yet there are some things that are the same for everyone. Paul says in one of his books, there is one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. In 2 John, as we continue our studies here, we see that regardless of who we are, regardless of our station in life, regardless of our economic or marital status, that love is defined the same for everyone. In verse 6, after he encourages this lady and her children that we love one another, he says, and this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. Now, that's not unusual language with John. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, he said essentially the same thing. 1 John 5:2, he said, but this we know, or by this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. And Jesus Himself said essentially the same thing, and I'll read that to you here real quickly. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And in John 14:21, He said, He who has My commandments and keeps them, He it is who loves Me. And he who loves Me shall be loved by My Father, and I will love him and will disclose Myself to him. Now, we all know in this church that we're not justified by keeping the commandments of God. We are justified by faith alone. We could never do enough to merit the forgiveness of God by the good works that we do. We all, I believe, in this church know that Christ imputes His righteousness to us. He charges us His righteousness to our account, not because of what we have done, but because of what He has done. And our only hope on the day of judgment will be the righteousness of Jesus Christ is sufficient. think we know that in this church. But we also know that whoever God justifies, He also sanctifies. That whomever God saves by His grace from the curse of the law, He by His Holy Spirit puts into their hearts a love of His commandments. Whoever God regenerates, whoever God causes to come to Christ, in that same person, God will always, without exception, put into the heart of that individual a love of His law and a love of His commandments. As the psalmist said, "Oh, how I love I thy law." Plainly put, if you don't love God's commandments, you're not a Christian. If you don't love God's commandments, you don't know Christ. And that's why he says in verse 6 of 2 John, "And this is love, that we keep His commandments." And John even says in 1 John that we keep His commandments and they are not a burden to us. I believe that Americans in general hate law. We dislike the Ten Commandments so much that we can't even hang them in our public schools anymore. And sadly, even in churches in America, there is a hatred of God's law. There is this idea that somehow God's law is the Old Testament and grace is the New Testament. That if we talk about God's law, we'll end up with some kind of salvation by works. How can you love God's law and love people? That law is somehow contrary to grace. And so the pulpits of America preach such heresies as these. As you enter the foyer of our church, you'll see on the left hand or the right hand as you come in the Ten Commandments. Because we love God's law and we love His commandments. The commandments of God tell us how to love God and how to love one another. To love God's law is to love Christ. To love God's law and to walk in it is to love one another. The commandments of God are not our enemy. They are our friends. And they define holiness and they define for us the character of God. You see, love is not simply a feeling. Love is not simply freedom where everybody can do what they want to do. Love is not accepting everyone as they are, but love is keeping the commandments of God and rejoicing when others keep the commandments of God. That's love. And that's the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in all of those whom God has called to be His people. Now this morning we're going to do something a little unusual. We're going to run very quickly through the Ten Commandments. Because John summarizes love as keeping the commandments. We're going to condense them very, very quickly into one sermon, which is very unusual. We could spend a month on each one of the commandments. But just to give you an idea of what love really is, we're going to move through the commandments this morning. We need to ask ourselves the question, do we love God and do we love one another? And these are the tests. These are the real tests. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. To love God is to recognize the God of the Bible as the only and the true and the living God, and we are to worship Him and we are to worship Him alone. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. God who is one yet in three. And this means that we exclude all other gods and all other religions, whether it be Allah or Buddha or whoever, they're all false gods, and only my God, only the God of the Bible, is the only true and the living God. Jesus is the only way to the Father, and all other religions are false. And if you can't say that, you don't love God. If you love God, you would never say all religions take us to the same God. You would say, no, no, all other religions are false except the Christian faith and the Christian God. And my love, my desire is to promote and to defend that truth even unto death. This is how you love God. You want to protect His name. You want to make sure that nobody else is worshipped except Him. And when God converts a Christian, He puts that desire in their hearts. And you can know if you're converted because you will know, yes, amen, preacher, I believe that Christ is the only way to the Father and all other religions are false. Contrary to what we are being taught in America. We are not to make or worship idols. There's to be no substitutes for God. There's to be nothing in our lives more important than God. You know, you can have substitutes in baseball. You can have substitutes in basketball. You can even have substitutes in the pulpit of the church. But God allows no substitutes. There is no one who is to even play like they're taking His position. Thou shalt not take His name in vain. You bear the Christian name. Most of you, if not all of you here this morning, you bear the Christian name. You're known as a Christian. That means that you must live like a Christian. You represent Him on earth. People don't see God. People see you. And you are His representative on earth. And when they see you, they see something of God. And if you're not faithful to God, then you are taking His name in vain. You don't love God if you call yourself a Christian and there's no difference between you and the world. We bear the name Christian. And if we love God, we'll honor His name. Just like if you bear the name of your father, and people will think of your father as they see things in you. They will you represent the name of your family. And likewise, we have on ourselves by our baptism the name Christian. We represent God on earth in everything we do and all that we think. And God says, don't take my name in vain. Don't make it worthless. Don't misrepresent me on earth. And if you love me, you'll not misrepresent me. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You know why God gave us the Sabbath day? Because He loves us. The Sabbath is supposed to be a delight. It's a delight. God loves us. He says, you work hard. I know you work hard. You work hard 6 days a week. You do all your work. You play all your ball games. You go on. You do all these things. There's one day that I want you to enjoy, and that's the Lord's Day. And if you love me, if you really love me, you'll worship me, you'll spend time with me on that day, You'll rest from the labors of your work. And it will be a testimony to all the world that I love man. I love the man that I've created. And I don't want him to overwork. I don't want him to do too much. I don't want him to lose a contact with me. And we come to the church to worship God on the Lord's Day because we want to honor Him. Honor your father and your mother. If you love me and if you love your father and mother, you'll honor them. That means respect for our parents. While we are children, that means obedience to our parents. That may even mean saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if we could raise another generation that knew what those terms meant? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It means respect for all of those who are in authority over us. You see, the fourth commandment means that we care for our employee. We care for those who work under us. We don't make them work 7 days a week. The fifth commandment means respect for the employer going up. We respect their position. We may not always agree with them, but that's not what God asked us to do. He didn't ask you to agree with them. He asked you to respect them and honor them. And when our parents become very elderly, we don't put them away in a nursing home and forget about them. I'm not saying that they can't go into a nursing home. Sometimes that's the best thing. But you had better not forget about them. You know how many nursing homes I've been in and I found old people, elderly people, who have nobody to visit them except the pastor of a church or the choir from a local children's group. Where are the children? I don't know. Maybe they're out seeking a career, making money, but they've forgotten about their mother and their father. And God says, if you love me and if you love your mother and your father, you will honor them. Not until they reach 65, but until the day they die. Do you love God? Do you love your brother and your sister? Do you love your mother and your father? Jesus says, if you love, or He says, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt be busy preserving life and preserving the dignity of others. And we can start with the sin of abortion, especially on this day, which in the United States, we remember the atrocity that so characterizes our nation, the snuffing out of the life of the unborn. You can't love somebody and kill them. You can't love somebody and kill them for our own convenience. A society that kills the unborn and the aged is a society that does not love. It's a society of hate. We live in a society of hate because God says, thou shalt not commit murder, thou shalt not take away the lives of those I have created. And yet here we are with 200 million unborn babies we have put to death. And someone has the audacity to stand up and say, oh, we in America love each other. We're a nation of love. It's a lie. And it's a society of hate. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Does anyone on television or in the movies ever get married anymore before they have a sexual relationship? Does anyone on television or in the movies or even in real life ever get married anymore before they have a sexual relationship? All this garbage that comes on television and out of Hollywood including pornography on the internet. And now we hear they want a lesbian television station. God says, this is not love, this is hate. Young girls, let me tell you something. When a boyfriend tells to you, if you love me, you'll go to bed with me before we get married, he doesn't love you, he hates you. He hates you. And if he loves you, he says, honey, we'll wait till we get married. And you'll know he loves you. Thou shalt not steal. You don't cheat. Cheating in school. You don't cheat in school. If you love God, you don't cheat. You don't cheat on your income tax. If you assume debt, you pay your bills. You see, to borrow from somebody and not repay them means you don't love them, you hate them. To borrow from somebody and repay your bills is to love them. If you love people, you don't cheat against them. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You tell the truth. You don't shade the truth to make yourself look good. Recently, there was a new coach hired at Notre Dame University, football coach. They checked out his record and they found out that what he wrote on his record was not true. He said he had a degree from a college from which he didn't have a degree from. He said he had time playing college sports which he didn't have. There was no truth that he did. To the credit of Notre Dame, they said, you can't be our head football coach. Because we can't have liars coaching our boys. Thou shalt not bear false witness. I think now he's an assistant coach with the Minnesota Vikings. It's all right with professional football, but not with college. To shade the truth. To withhold honor due to another. To praise ourselves when we should be praising others. That's not love, that's hate. And God says, if you love me, you'll do all that's within you to live this way. And lastly, thou shalt not covet. Jealousy. Oh, how jealousy so destroys the soul. It will destroy your soul. It will destroy the souls of others. You know, God didn't make us all equal. I mentioned that last week. God gave certain people different talents and different gifts. We're not all the same. And God says, don't you dare be jealous. Don't you dare covet and become cold and distant. And say, I can't live with those people. I can't be around those people. I don't like those people because they have much more than I have. They're much more than I am. God says, rejoice in what they have. Rejoice in who they are. Rejoice that God has given us people with great gifts, great talents. Not to joy in the success of others. Hate your neighbor. Jesus says, if you love me and you love your neighbor, these are the things you'll do. These are the things that you'll pay attention to. You know, you can say that I made a decision for Jesus a long time ago, or I had this experience a long time ago. It doesn't really matter. The only thing matters is if you are faithful to the commandments of God. Not perfectly. I'm not preaching perfectionism here, but I'm saying that you will love them. You will say they are right and they are good. And the more we can live our lives by these commandments, the more we will enjoy ourselves, the more we will enjoy other people, the more we will honor our God. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. And he wrote to this lady, this woman, he says, and this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. We are a diverse people. We're different. And we can't make clones out of each other. And we can't expect everybody else to be like we are. But there are some things where we are the same. And when it comes before God, and when it comes to the definition of what love is, God says, to keep my commandments is to love me and to love your neighbor. Experiences, decisions, confirmation classes, and tell me whether you love God or not. What tells me whether you love God is your opinion and your feeling and your response to the Ten Commandments. When a man says all gods are equal, all religions are equal, that's not love, that's hate. When we substitute anything as more important than God, that's not love, that's hate. When we bear the Christian name and we live like the world, that's not love, that's hate. That's hating God. And when Sunday becomes like any other day of the week, that's not love, that's hate. We hate God. If we don't love His day. And when we have no respect for authority, when we have no care for those who become older, when children don't have an attitude, at least an attitude of saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, they don't love their parents, they hate their parents. And to murder our neighbor with gossip and unfair words, that's not love, that's hate. To promote the idea that sexual relationships apart from marriage is okay, that's not love, that's hate. To withhold praise where praise is due, that's not love, that's hate. To lie, to shade the truth about ourselves and others, to make ourselves look good at the expense of others, that's not love, that's hate. And discontentment. Because God didn't make me like Him and God didn't make me like her. That's not love, that's hate. You want to know how to love? You want to know how to love your wife, your children, your parents, to love God, to love your neighbor? Jesus says, study the Ten Commandments. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we ask that we may not be deceived in thinking somehow that we have the evidence of God's working in our hearts without a love of Your commandments. Your commandments are good. And as the Spirit of God leads us to walk in Your commandments, they lead us to love God and to love one another. O Lord, give us such love for the honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.